go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 62 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. It is September. You know what that means. Football is back. I was about to say, I hope you win all your bets and your parlays, but I'm the type of guy, whenever I'm watching football with the boys and my friend tells me he puts in a bet, I always root against whatever his bet is. Do all of you do that with your friends, or does that, am I an original with that? Does that make me a terrible friend, a terrible buddy, not one of the boys? I don't know. I don't gamble, so I kind of get a thrill out of watching my friends, the agony of defeat in their eyes, because none of us are athletic and play, you know, real sports. We have to watch others do what we wanted to do when we were kids. Goal of this episode is not to say, I noticed last episode I was using those idioms too much. What else? If you have a significant other, boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, same-sex lover, I advise you go out and cheat on that person tonight after you lose your football bet. Why not? Have some fun. Cheat on them. It's new pussy, new dick. It's always better than old, boring, same person you go home to every night. We like the thrill here. We like the that anxiety, that post-cheating anxiety, it does eventually go away. So I'm rooting for you to go. I'm rooting for you to lose your bet, and then I'm rooting for you to go cheat on your spouse and not get caught. I've never really cheated on any of my partners in my past. Interesting we bring that up. September 2024, yes, that's the month. This is a month I have been dreading for about the past 5 years. Reason being, I tried to be economical about 5 years ago. And what I mean by that is I had online, I bought condoms in bulk. Trojan, because I trust the name brands, especially when it comes to my sexual health. So I bought a bulk pack of, I don't know, it might have been 50, 100 rubbers. I've barely used any of them. And again, we as we've mentioned many times before here at Verbal Graffiti, we are pro, what's the way? We are pro non-safety sex, so we don't advise using condoms unless you have to, if you're having sex with someone with HIV. But other than that, hey, don't be using rubbers. But again, back in the day, I was a bit more safe with my sexual activity, and I had bought all these condoms thinking, well, I'll buy them in bulk, save some money, because all of us know when you go to the gas station, you buy the 3-pack, it costs you, I don't even know what it costs you now, eight bucks for 3 condoms. It's way too pricey for the B-Man. So, yes, I bought a big box of them, thinking I'm good to go. But the last year or so, I've realized I have a lot of those condoms left, and they all expired September 2024. So now I have a box of barely used condoms that I have to throw out, waste the money, and also it's almost the same thing with here at Verbal Graffiti. When I started this project, in my mind, I was like, well, this is going to blow up. I'm going to get a lot of followers. I'm going to be able to start to sell tickets on the road when I do stand-up comedy. I'm going to be able to sell merchandise. I'm going to be able to quit my day job. And this is going to become my full-time career financially. And I'm about, what is this, episode 62? I have 37 followers on YouTube. And that's after 2 episodes per week, every week. I've been pretty persistent with that, with all the money I spent on the camera and the lighting. Again, when I started the project, I was thinking big. I had so much confidence in myself. Same thing with the condoms. When I bought the box, I was thinking, well, hey, I'm going to be having sex every week, even though I'd never done so before I bought those condoms. I was an idealist. I'm a dreamer, an idealist. I was thinking big. I had hopeful thoughts, and now I have to dispose of all these condoms that I have not opened. I've kind of been stuck in my underwear drawer for the last few years, in the dark, the shadows. They've never come out. And I just having to throw them in the garbage, I'm seeing my failure, my dreams, my aspirations just go away in the waste bin. Terrible for the environment, terrible for my love life. It's all there in front of me. It's very saddening. But hey, I don't understand why the condoms expire because I haven't opened them and they've been, you know, room temperature. But hey, I'm not going to risk it. So I'm going to have to buy another bulk condoms because I believe in myself. The next 5 years, I'll get through a box of non-expired condoms, even though here at Verbal Graffiti, we advise you do not use condoms, have unprotected sex, consensually every time, of course. Don't be having sex and then during the middle of it, slide it off without telling your babe. No. Like, talk about it beforehand and get some STD tests, but do not use condoms. Maybe it's a positive that I'm going to throw them out. Similar, this whole having to throw out these bulk Trojan rubbers reminds me of one of my favorite jokes. I was maybe 2 months into comedy. I don't know what year, 2012, 13, 14. I was at Joker's Wild in New Haven. It was a comedy club that no longer exists. It was a rundown run by some gangsters, bikers. They never had their heat on. They had an open mic every Wednesday night. Every night I would go and I'd be filled with anxiety. So that even thinking of Joker's Wild, it fills me with dread. Because I wasn't confident in who I was as a comic back then, rightfully so. I was dog shit back then. I used to remember everything I was going to say, word for word, and I would just zip through my material, no pauses at all. No, I didn't take into account the audience and the laughs, which I barely got back then. They never had the heat on. They had a big window by the side, which is terrible for a comedy club. You want a dark, enclosed room with a low ceiling. But my favorite comedian, if you're watching this on YouTube, go watch the description of what my Verbal Graffiti is, that little write-up I have on my front page. I mentioned this stand-up comedian Dan Calwhite. He's one of my favorite comics of all time. He's much funnier than I am. Go see him live if you're in the Northeast area. At the time, he'd been doing comedy a few years. I really looked up to him. He had a joke. It was right before Christmas. And I'm going to butcher this joke, but it's a math joke. And it was over 10 years ago, so I'll say it. The joke goes something like this. Dan's on stage. He goes, yeah, the average American has sex something like 50 times a year. It's December 24th. I need to have sex 47 more times in the next week or else I'm going to be below average. And I still remember that joke all these years later. Dan Calwhite, one of the best. So I did not get, I don't know, I had 100 condoms. I needed to get through like 97 the last month. I did not do so. So over a decade later, I can relate to Dan Calwhite with that joke. There's something else I want to talk about, but that was enough of rambling. Let's get into something I found on Reddit. I found this one very, very, ooh, look at that. Another Kamala Harris text. That babe is blowing me up. I wish babes in my real orbit would text me as much as Kamala Harris and her team text me and just badger me asking for money. It's real. The only people I get messages from now are Kamala Harris in my family group text message, which I despise. I told my family all the time, I hate group text messages because you open up your phone, there's 17 messages because you put it on mute and you're, whoa, what the fuck happened? Then you open it and it's all it is photos or nondescript information that you get excited when you have 20 unread messages. I get excited, and when I open it and it's just family drama, I am so anti-group text. I don't understand why. I've lost so many friendships because I mute every group text. So be it. I will die on that hill. I am anti-group text. I'll fuck all you all who are blowing up my phone at 7:30 in the morning because you know I don't get up until 8:30. All right. Back on target here. Found this one on the subreddit Mini Golf. The B-Man, I love Mini Golf. All right, Mini Golf Courtesy. Yes, I'm learning how to read. First time posting here. Usually my BF, that stands for boyfriend, and I will go play for fun to let off some steam. We were on a course when this big family behind us kept getting really close to us. We would ask them to give us some space, but then at one point, while we were still playing and getting ready to go to the next hole, their son started hitting his ball, which hit ours out of their places. Eventually, the little boy hit the ball so hard that it hit my ankle, and he started running across the course to get his ball. Is there like a common courtesy rule when it comes to playing mini golf? Yes, there is a lot of common courtesy. It's very similar to real golf, and I'm not a golfer, and I'm very proud that I'm not a golfer because that is a very expensive and time-consuming hobby that's done early in the morning. And like I just mentioned, I do not get up before 8:30 a.m. and that's on weekdays. Don't even get me started with weekends. The common courtesy with golf and mini golf is if you're a big party and there's a smaller party behind you. So let's say you're a big group and there's two people golfing behind you, mini golf, and they're moving quickly. You get out of the way. You just kind of step to the side. You let the group of two or the quicker party play the hole that you're supposed to be doing so they could kind of jump you in line. So you know, they get the people behind you. Are very quick and you're holding them up. You just step out of the way, let them play a hole and get in front of you. It's so that the line just keeps moving. The last thing any of us want when we're out blowing off some steam, whether it's golf or mini golf, is to get stuck in line in a traffic jam and just get frustrated. So hypothetical, you're at a real golf course and you're with the guys and none of you are the real good golfers and you're really just golfing as an excuse to day drink. If you got a couple scratch golfers behind you, you let them play through. Hey, pull your balls aside. Say, hey guys, you guys are real scratch golfers. You're actually keeping score. Get ahead of us. This is actually a bit unique because you're the twosome and the family is faster than you and your man, which is a little odd to me. My thinking is, if it's a bigger family, there's more of them. So you should be moving quicker than the family behind you, which makes me assume that you and your boyfriend don't play mini golf very often. Not judging, I play once per year at Safari Golf, the best golf country in the country, Berlin Turnpike in Connecticut. It's a safari. They have fake giraffes and it's on a hill and they have a waterfall. It's awesome. It's $20. Go there if you're in Connecticut. So that is the common courtesy. Actually, when it comes to common courtesy with golf, think of COVID and social distancing when that was a thing. Remember being in a grocery store, how everyone had to be 6 feet apart? Same thing with mini golf. You don't want to get dick to butt shoulder to shoulder with the people ahead of you. You always just want to keep some breathing room between each party, even if it's crowded, because you don't want to be on top of each other. Because when you're playing mini golf and you're being serious and you're keeping score, you want your space. You don't want anyone getting up next to you, especially if you don't know them, especially if they're cunty little kids like this. So I'm on your side. I have to say, though, I don't know if I'd want to hang out. Actually, no. Let me say this. I do not want to hang out with you and your boyfriend. Reason being is because you think playing mini golf is letting off some steam. Mini golf is fun, but it is not letting off some steam. If you have some energy you need to get rid of at the end of the week, go to a driving range. Go go to the batting cages with the bats, you know, baseball bats and softball. Go-karting. Mini golf is a very slow activity. You don't let off any steam that way. The fact that you think playing mini golf is letting off some steam makes me think you're a very boring couple. You spend your Friday nights playing crazy eights, drinking mocktails while listening to the soundtrack to the movie Frozen. You're that kind of boring couple, and I want nothing to do with you. I'd come over your house and be, where's the bottle of whiskey? I need an Uber home. Let's smoke some weed. Where's the vape pen? You guys obviously have none of that. So you're not a couple that I'm compatico. Is that a word that I want to hang out with it? So you need to learn what letting off steam is. Now to the actual event that's happening here. So you have this family behind you, and these little kids, their son is fucking up your game. What you should do is what my favorite comedian, Patrice O'Neill, let me tell you, Patrice O'Neill, RIP, best comedian of all time, he had his philosophy when he was bombing on stage. And if you don't know, bombing on stage means when you're doing stand-up comedy and it's not going well on stage. Your jokes are not getting any laughs. It's a silent room. Maybe you're getting heckled. You're not able to get the audience on your side. Now, Patrice O'Neill, his philosophy was when he was bombing on stage, he would never give in to the audience. He would never appease the audience and what they want him to say. When he was bombing, Patrice O'Neill said what he would do is he would take everybody down with him. He would take two hand grenades, metaphorically, throw them in the audience and just bomb the room and make sure everybody had a miserable time with him. He was not going to give in to the crowd. That is the philosophy. That's what you got to do right here. As soon as that kid hit his little green golf ball and it hit you in the ankle, that's when you go suicide bomber. And you bring everybody at that course down with you. And what I mean by that is you got to be extreme. This is not like, hey, can you please back up your little cunty kid? No, no. You look him directly in the eye and you go, hey, you're a venereal disease. Cunt, your parents, you shouldn't even be here. The only reason why you're here right now is because your parents had sex with expired condoms while they were drunk. You accidentally had you and had to have a shotgun wedding. You're a miserable kid. 6 years from now, you're going to get kicked out of school for vaping weed, doing cocaine, getting into a fight with your physics teacher, and you're going to be stuck in juvie hall. That's what you are. You're a juvie kid. And you say it loud enough so that their parents can hear them. And then what you do is you start sucking face with your boyfriend right there, the grabbing ass cheeks, and you look at that little kid and you go, you're a virgin, and you'll always be a virgin, because nobody wants to suck face with a little twerp who doesn't know the rules of mini golf. And you really go in on that kid, and you take your, you can't hit the kid, but what you want to do is, after you're sucking face and you call him a little cunt, that little venereal diseased cunt, you take the club, you break it over your knee like you're Jose Canseco, and then when the parents come up to you and they get in your face, you get the bat, you go right back in their face, and you just don't say, "Yeah, go suck a fat one and keep playing." No, 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 no. You look those parents in the eye and you go, "Listen, this is the deal. You are shitty parents. You don't know how to raise kids with manners. So what I hope happens is that when your kid is in the juvie, that you run out of money and you can't afford a lawyer, so he has to stay there and then go to the big boy prison, and I hope you lose all your money on lawyer fees and rehab, because your kid's going to be a junkie because you're shitty parents and you don't know how to raise them, so he's going to end up on the streets of Philadelphia probably overdosing the fentanyl, and I'm going to be happy. We're going to be happy when your kid dies of an overdose, and when he does, we're going to show up at your wake and we're going to clap and we're going to say, good, your little twerp died. He ruined our, we play mini golf. We paid $20 to let off some steam, and your little twerp of a kid, that little venereal disease cunt that you didn't even want to reproduce, that you didn't even want, that's the only reason why you're married. He ruined this evening, so we're glad your lives are ruined. And you want to be so obscene, so loud, when you just go off on these parents and this little twerp of a kid that the teenage manager is forced to come to you, separate the two of you, and kick you both off the course. Because, heck, like Patrice O'Neill said, bring everybody down with you. That little family, they ruined your golf outing, so it's time for you to ruin theirs. So have the manager have to kick the both of you out, be permanently banned, and that's not where it ends. That is not where this vendetta ends. Go to the parking lot, take a club, smash the driver's side window of their mid-sized SUV. Then when you're on the highway going home, rubberneck them, flash your high beams, flip them off. And what you want to do, you came correct at that shitty family that doesn't know many golf manners. When the next day, when they have a Facebook rant, just talking about how terrible their night was at mini golf. Like if they don't mention, if those parents don't mention you and your boyfriend on a Facebook post within the next 15 hours, you did not act properly. That's how high you need to elevate this. Find their address and send them some white powder that can be mistaken for anthrax, so they have to call the police and get the bomb squad and waste an entire afternoon. You keep agitating them. You just keep at Mischief Night, October 30th, go TP, egg their house. Prank call, order, have 10 pizzas ordered to their house. Every couple months, just keep hammering away at this family. It's almost like you have to be a haunted ghost. Just keep at this family and just keep following that kid. When he fucks up, when he's in prison, call the prison and ask to talk to that guy. So when he gets out, when that little kid who hit you in the ankle with his golf ball and stepped on the green in front of you and knocked your ball out of the way, you call him when he's behind bars and you go, yeah, you deserve everything you're getting. Go suck a fat one. That's what you do. You didn't do that. I don't know if you have that in you because, like you said, you think playing mini golf is letting off some steam. So I don't know if you have that anger that you need, that testosterone, if your boyfriend has the testosterone that is needed to bring it to such a level that we want you to bring it here at Verbal Graffiti. But we hope you have that in you. And I hope you reach out to this family and just be a nuisance to them till the day their son gets life in prison and or dies of an overdose. Let's go look at some photos. Whew, had to towel myself off after that one. I got a little heated, a little bit of back sweat there. You might think I was being a bit hyperbolic when I suggested that you call that kid who ruined your mini golf game a venereal disease cunt. No. Everything I said in that previous segment, I was being earnest with. Going mini golf might be my favorite activity during the summer. I look forward to it all winter. So when it comes to that day, that evening, and I go out to Safari Golf and to have it ruined by a little venereal disease cunt, he deserves everything that's coming to him. And yes, I do hope that little kid grows up, has to go to juvie, has to go to big boy jail, and dies on the streets of a U.S. city because he has open lesions for being addicted to whatever drug in the future is harder than fentanyl, because I'm sure all the druggies, we're rooting for you to get sober, all the druggies who did not ruin a nice couple's mini golf game. But to all you druggies who have just blown up an outing to mini golf, yes, I hope you do die and don't get help. But to all the other druggies out there, here at Verbal Graffiti, find a sponsor, get clean. You can get your life back together. But this little kid, I hope I hope I can walk by him and see the open lesion on his calf. And as he's just suffering, and he doesn't have enough gauze to get around his calf because the lesion is just swollen so much that he can't keep it shut, and there's just a stream of blood down the curb. That's what I hope to see 10 to 15 years from now, whether it be San Francisco, Baltimore, Philadelphia, Miami, Hartford, Connecticut. He has that coming to him, and I'm rooting for bad things for him. The way I think about mini golf is probably how a lot of you think about movies. You're excited to see a big movie. For me, it's The Joker coming up in November. But you get excited to go see the big new superhero movie. You go there, and there's a group of teenagers who are loud or talking on their phone or munching on their popcorn too much. Or maybe they snuck in a little booze, and they get a little talky-talky. And they ruin the experience. They ruined your evening, and they ruined... It's not so much the activity, it's the looking forward to it, the weeks leading up to it, the anticipation. That's almost more fun than the event itself. And when the event actually gets ruined, you feel like the anticipation you've had for the past week, maybe months leading up to it, was a waste of excitement. I don't know how to express in words how I don't even know the words to describe how I'm feeling. Like I'm breathing heavily. My heartbeat is pounding because that when someone intentionally ruins the activity that you're looking forward to or the movie that you're excited to see, that's why people go crazy on these streets here in the U.S. Let's move on to something a little bit more tame. I kind of know why. When I opened this episode, I was talking about cheating. I'm not really advocating for cheating, but this next Reddit post, it was kind of a Freudian slip. It was on my mind. Let's get to it. You'll understand why after I read it. Hopefully, I don't stumble my words. Trying to learn how to read. All right, B-Man, let's get into this one. This comes from the subreddit Yelp Drama. At least she gave 5 stars. ... Let me itch my nose. Okay. Eric F. This is the best hotel in the area to have an affair or to cheat on your wife. Okay. I myself had an affair with a woman named Michelle, whom I work with. My wife found the hotel receipt online and called the hotel, who told her I indeed checked in with my wife. The beds are large and comfortable and perfect for having sex with women who are also not your wife. The bathrooms are clean, the staff is friendly, and there is ample parking just in case you decide to meet your partner who you are cheating on your wife with. They're in separate vehicles. I definitely plan on going there again next time I feel the need to go cheating by my wife again. Then again, I won't have to cheat anymore as my wife is leaving me as soon as she's done writing this review for my Yelp account. Also, I have a tiny penis and sometimes sleep in women's panties. All right, well, I did some investigative work with this one, and this is not a chuckle for shits and giggles. This actually happened, although through my research on Reddit, it appears this wife, soon to be ex-wife, found out that her husband indeed cheated on her at this hotel, went onto his Yelp account, and wrote this review. First, let me say, this soon-to-be ex-husband is a huge fan here of Verbal Graffiti. He is one of our 37 followers. So to the soon-to-be ex-husband who's just cheated on his wife, thanks for watching. We're rooting for you and Michelle, the woman you cheated with. I don't like the decorum here of this wife that got cheated on. We here at Verbal Graffiti, and especially me, the B-Man, we like to keep our dirty laundry behind closed doors, especially when it's dirty laundry is your dirty panties that you may let your husband wear. That's the adult thing to do. Confront your husband about this. off the internet, putting this out on the internet for all of us crazies to see. It's not womanly. It's not adult-like. It's so... We used to behave like adults in this world. Since the internet and social media and Yelp have become a thing, not so often. Can't you be like Marilyn Monroe and just do your business behind closed doors or allow your husband to do so? To me, this is more embarrassing to you, the wife, than it is the soon-to-be ex-husband. Like, you put this out for all of us to see, and we know you just got cheated on, which we would not have known this if you did not go on your husband's Yelp review and do this for all of us weirdos on the internet to see. So this is more of an indictment on you. It looks more bad on you than it does your husband, although your husband is not a faithful actor in this. I'm not going to say I disapprove of what your husband did and his actions, but I don't approve of them either. The thing that bothers me the most about you, the wife that just got cheated on, is that you immediately went after your husband for having a tiny penis. That's more of an indictment on you, the wife, than it is your soon-to-be ex-husband. That you married into a tiny penis. You knew your husband or your fiance at the time had a tiny penis, and yet you decided, when he got on his knee and proposed, to say yes. You bought into that. Your husband, small penis or not, he was born that way. He was born with a small penis. There's nothing he can do about it. You decided to marry a tiny penis. That's more of an indictment against you, not your husband. And it is a very shallow insult to bring out to public. Oh, that's what you do. You get upset with your husband. You say he has a tiny wiener and you make fun of him. It's like, well, you're the one who's been getting fucked by it for the last 10 years. Maybe you should have brought that up before you said yes. After he had sex with him the first time, maybe you should have ended it there if you're so opposed to a man with a tiny penis, your soon-to-be ex-wife. So that grinds my gears. I know you're a libtard. I know that because, first of all, your way to get back on your husband is to go on Yelp and to body shame him. And that's, we all know about liberals. It's like, you're not allowed to body shame anybody unless it's a political opponent you don't like or your husband cheats on you. Then it's the very first thing you do is say he has a tiny penis or small hands. Wow, am I really compensating here? Do I have a small penis? Is that why I'm so angry at you and in this response that you put out on Reddit? Mr. Perfect, my wiener, is not small, not large. I like to say he's pedestrian, but he's lovable and he's got a lot of character. But this is not about me and Mr. Perfect. This is about you and your crumbling marriage or your marriage that has already crumbled. Did you ever think that asking yourself, like, why did your husband feel the need to go to this hotel and cheat on you with his coworker Michelle? Probably because Michelle has bigger tits, longer legs, and is a better fuck than you'll ever be as his wife. I guarantee you, when Michelle is fucking your husband, she's arching her back. She's not slumped over while doing doggy style. And when she's on top grinding him, she's doing the catcher position, like she's squatting down. She's just not on her knees, like just kind of leaning over you as making your husband hump from the bottom. Michelle's putting in work. That's why she's getting the hotel room in the middle of the afternoon. You probably stopped giving in work on your husband years ago. And you got to take some accountability here. All right? All right. When was the last time you fucked your... You got a hotel room for your husband, surprised him with a hotel room, and fucked his balls off all weekend, drained his balls of all that beautiful married semen that he has? When was the last time you got freaky in the kitchen with him? When was the last time you had sex in the back of your Toyota while your kids, you waited for your kids' softball practice to be over? You probably have, it's been years since you've done anything spontaneous with your husband. So take some self-accountability here. Take this time. Once you get past the anger of what your husband did to Michelle, have some self-reflection. Because maybe that will help you in your future relationships. So no, I do not like this Yelp review. I wish I had seen it myself. I would have written this all out. And I hope you do see this. On to the hotel. The review you wrote, the scathing review, as you thought was going to be, getting back at your husband. This was going to be the revenge of your husband. To me, to the B-man, what you wrote might be the best review I've ever read of a hotel. This is what I want out of the Marriott. This is what I want on the Marriott's website. I want to know. I know your hotel room. Hey, where I go to Marriott or whatever high-end hotel, I know you got a comfy bed. I know there's a mini bar, maybe a balcony. Maybe you have a restaurant on the top of the hotel. Maybe there's an indoor pool with a spa. I know every hotel has that. What you told us in your review, that's what I want on the Marriott website in small print on the bottom. I want the Marriott to tell me, yes, if you come to this hotel with a lady in a tawdry outfit with a black eye at 1 p.m., the checkout person, the concierge is not going to look at you sideways. They're going to say, hey, here's your room number. Have a pleasant stay with us. That's what I want to know. I want to know, yes, there is ample parking so that when I do go there to cheat on my partner, that we could have spaces far away as to not get caught by our snooping wife or girlfriend or whoever our partner may be. I want to know. I want to know in small print on the website that, hey, if I give the bellhop, I give him a wet handshake with $10 bills, that foul activity that I do with my tawdry high escort or coworker that I'm cheating on, once that door closes, that hotel room door closes, it stays there. It's like Vegas. It doesn't leave. Nobody on the staff is gonna talk or talk to my wife or anybody I know. It just stays there for eternity. Like, I want to know. I want to know on the website that, hey, when you charge me for this hotel stay, it doesn't come up as a hotel, but it comes as some nondescript thing, similar to when you subscribe to the browsers or some smut site premium, the premium account, when it comes to your credit card, it's something nondescript. It doesn't just write browsers, Pornhub premium. It's nondescript so that your spouse won't know what it is or suspects what it might be. That's what I want. That your Yelp review, that should be on every hotel website around the world. The only thing that really fucked up here, the only really people you fucked up were the workers at the hotel, because you called the hotel, you got the information, you went to the internet with it. So the manager is going to be forced to fire the employees that gave away this information, because it's private information and now it's public. So the manager is going to have to fire the hotel workers who were probably not making, you know, a serious wage or salary. So not, they're the fuck out of a job because you tried to get back at your husband, although your husband's kind of a boss. He's the one fucking Michelle and you're the one writing on Yelp. So who's a winner in this situation? So shame on you for that. If I was a manager of a hotel, and I did actually think about going to school for hospitality management, that would be a training lesson day one, first day employee was, hey, anybody calls to our hotel asking about who stayed and who didn't, we plead the fifth, we plead dumb, we don't say anything, and that's it. You come to our hotel, get buck wild with whatever coworker, with whatever freak you bring there with, whether you're married or not. That would be my training. That would be my lesson day one after signing all your W-2s and all that paperwork. I'm really happy for your husband that he cheated on you. You keep that dirty laundry behind closed doors. Oh, and just one more thing. Making fun of your husband for wearing your undies. All those guys know that women's underwear is a lot softer than men's boxer briefs and boxers. So don't be hating on a guy for wanting to wear women's undies. Not saying I do, but I can see where your soon-to-be ex-husband, huge fan of Verbal Graffiti, why he would want to do so. So to you, and not your soon-to-be ex-husband, but to you and everybody else, go suck a fat one.